From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made 1 year ago. If you could find a flight, it was probably cheap. The pandemic had largely shut down travel and tourism. People were obviously spending a lot more time at home. Many vacations were scrapped. For those who dared to go on holiday, it was pretty cheap a year ago. And that has all changed in a dramatic way this summer. Have you tried to travel? Domestic airfares are up 10% since April, according to research from Bernstein. International airfares are 20% more expensive. So maybe you want to take a road trip. Gas prices are the highest they've been since 2014. And how about renting a car? Well, the old standard was $50 a day. Now travelers are paying 4 to 5 times that rate if they can find a car to rent. How about renting a house or a cottage or staying at a B&B? Prices are up. Demand is up. Owners are trying to make up for a largely lost year. So what options do you have? This hour, we look at the trends and we examine whether there are more cost-effective ways to get out this summer and this fall. And our guests this hour include the creator of the Urban Phoenix blog and maybe the best-traveled New Yorker in this state, Arian Horbovitz, is back with us. Great to have you back with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And with us on the phone is Nicole Monopol, who is director of Letchworth Gateway Villages. Nicole, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Tell us a little bit about what Letchworth Gateway Villages are.
Sure. So this was a municipal collaboration that was started a few years ago for communities surrounding Letchworth State Park. And it's really morphed into this 5-county initiative right now that is looking at building hospitality hubs along the Genesee Valley Greenway and river, as well as Letchworth State Park. So, you know, we're working with these kind of small, off the beaten track kinds of communities to help them take advantage of the growing outdoor recreation tourism industry in our area.
That's great. In a moment, we're also going to welcome Richard Trayford, who's the co-owner of Letchworth Farm Bed and Breakfast. But he's British, and I'm worried he was driving on the wrong side of the road. I'm sure we'll see him any second now. Nicole, can you kind of give me a sense for what you saw last summer, you know, what largely the activity was like, and compare that to what you're seeing this summer?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think like a lot of people noticed last summer, everyone was looking for places to get outdoors. We saw a dramatic increase in visitation to the area, especially along the Genesee Valley Greenway. That became, you know, kind of the go-to place for people wanting to get outside, walk their dogs, cycle. Letchworth State Park saw, I think it was a 19% increase in visitation. I mean, they already attract nearly 1 million people a year. So they almost pretty much hit that mark and actually had to close during the fall, during the Columbus Day weekend, because they were so overwhelmed with visitors. Wow. So, you know, we've seen a lot. And then down in Allegheny County where we work, where there's some beautiful river access points down there along the river, you know, crowded parking lots and, you know, more people on the river than folks had seen there, you know, in the last 20 years.
Mm. Are things sort of slowly easing off with the crowds now?
No, I think, you know, one of the beautiful things about the pandemic is people really discovered this area. And so just by point of comparison, we're trying to host a family reunion this next weekend. We could not find bed and breakfast places to house our family. Luckily, we had some good friends who are helping out. But I see, you know, the same amount of people coming to the area. But this year, you know, you're really seeing bed and breakfast and all sorts of accommodation completely booked out.
Wow. So, Arian, when you look at travel options here, you've been doing this for a long time. Remind listeners what you sought to do when you created the Urban Phoenix to begin with.
Yeah, my initial idea was to go to cities that I had not heard really great things about, not cities and communities that had had, you know, poor reputations, you know, that I hadn't, you know, heard very many positive stories about. And, you know, I wanted to go tell the story of why, for example, 60,000 people live in Utica. You know, what's there? What's going on there? There's got to be a reason, you know, that people live there and people enjoy it. So I started my blog basically talking about going from community to community, places like Utica, Binghamton, Schenectady, Troy, things that I had never heard someone say a good thing about. and finding the gems there, the stuff that was going on. And what I found in these communities is once you get in them and once you really start walking the streets, talking to the people, start popping in the shops, there's just like in Rochester, there's a revitalization effort happening in cities big and small all over this state and all over this country. And, that's been a really, really neat adventure for me, not just experiencing these cities and finding what makes them each beautiful and unique, but also turning other people on to the fact that you can stay close to home and have a day trip, a weekend, and a small adventure. You know, you can come back to your coworkers and say, hey, I went to this place that you probably have never been to that's right in our backyard, and I had a wonderful time, and I feel rejuvenated. I feel like I had a trip. I had a vacation. I got out of the city for a bit and had a great time.
Has it made you feel more connected to your fellow New York State residents who, take Utica, for example. What is Utica? 75 minutes away, maybe 90 minutes away, something like that?
Yeah, it's about 2 hours. Yeah.
Okay, better part of 2 hours. You're right. Most people in our listening area probably haven't heard good reputational things about Utica, and yet quite a lot of people live there. I've known people who are from there. They've been very happy to be from there. And if you actually spend time in places, you find wonderful little things. Sometimes it's a little coffee shop, sometimes it's a great mm-hmm. restaurant that the locals know about. What do you tend to find, and are you feeling more connected to your state as a result of this?
Definitely I am. What I think we get into the habit of, unfortunately, is we say, I'm in Rochester, and oh, there's nothing going on in Syracuse. There's nothing going on in Utica. There's nothing going on
Some people say there's nothing going on in Rochester.
Right, exactly.
People are down on stuff.
We get this us versus them thing, right? I mean, it's just kind of natural. It's what we do as humans, right? When you explore New York State and when you really, go across the state, you realize that there's people in every community that want to make their community better. They're tired, like we are in Rochester, of people hating on what's here and what's happening here. We want to turn people on to the fact that, look, there's a lot of people in every city, every community trying to make it better. Instead of getting down on it, let's lift each other up and figure out a way to create this revitalization effort. So I love seeing that when I go to these cities, and it has definitely connected me to the state and what's happening here. In Utica, for example, 60,000 people live there. Utica has one of the top-rated farm-to-table restaurants in the whole state. They have, other just amazing restaurants, eateries, bars. They've got the Saranac Brewery. They've got the Munson Williams Proctor Art Institute, which is a beautiful little museum. They've got Stanley Theater, one of the most gorgeous historic theaters I've ever been in my life. And you realize, you can spend a day here and a couple days here, and really go around and have a great time, and really not spend anywhere near as much money as you might in a place like New York or Miami Beach.
Or
Hilton Head Island.
I mean, there's a lot of places. So let's talk then a little bit about strategies with our guests here as we talk about travel. And listeners, you've been bombarding us with your experiences or sometimes your frustrations this summer on our various channels. So I'll read some of your emails because I know a lot of people have been very frustrated trying to travel, trying to book places, trying to find a car. If you want to share your experiences, 844-295-TALK. Or if you've got little sort of hidden gem ideas, 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Email the program connections@WXXI.org. Your fellow traveler, Chris Clemens, sends us a couple of notes I thought our guests would find interesting. First, Chris says, a friend of mine is from out of state and booked a room in Niagara Falls, New York. Not Niagara Falls, Canada. Niagara Falls, New York, at a Sheraton, and had to pay $468 for a night. $468 for a night at the Sheraton. So Chris goes on with this recommendation. He says, my primary tip would be this. Don't book overnight accommodations right in the place that you're visiting. Maybe instead of booking a room in Watkins Glen, you book in Horseheads. Instead of Hammondsport, maybe Bath. If you're visiting the Thousand Islands area, maybe you stay near Pulaski. Find a spot that is less of a tourist destination and drive roughly 30 minutes to where you want to hang. It's like a day trip, but from your hotel, Airbnb, or your regular B&B, and you pay a lot less. Let me start with Arian. What do you make of that idea?
I think it's great. First of all, I'm a huge fan of Chris's, so it's great to hear from him there. That's an excellent strategy. I think that's wonderful. I think one of my favorite ways, as you well know, to travel across the state, especially if you're traveling eastward, the schedule works very well, is by Amtrak. So Amtrak is almost back to full service here. It cut its services during
the
pandemic.
When's the last time you rode Amtrak?
A week ago or two.
What did you pay? Was it normal-ish or was it?
Yeah, it was normal-ish. The rooms are more expensive. Definitely, if you want like a book a sleeper car for longer trips, those are through the roof right now. But the actual coach class and business class are still as reasonable as they have been. And I think that's smart of Amtrak. I think this is the time where, people want to explore that kind of, short range, across the state. And so I've had still a great experience. The trains are starting to fill up again. So it's, we'll see what happens with that. But, if you're traveling eastbound across the state from Rochester, for example, I can take the early train to Utica, get there early in the morning, stop at a coffee shop, make my way around the whole city, and take the late train that gets back here in Rochester at about 11 o'clock at night, the Lakeshore Limited. And, in a day, I've seen a small city and had an adventure that I can tell my coworkers about on Monday morning. And it's a lot of fun to be able to do that. So you don't even need to stay overnight. If you want to take a train or if you just want to make it a day trip, there's so much within the two-hour radius, I would say, of us, and even a little further, that you can kind of justify spending a day.
Nicole Monopol, what do you say to people who are frustrated, just as you were, looking for a B&B or a place for a family reunion or just maybe a place for a weekend stay? What do you make of the idea that you might have to get a little farther from your destination?
Absolutely. I would agree with everything Aaron and Chris are saying. And again, huge fans of both of you. And just wanted to make a point going back to what Aaron was saying about his work. This is exactly what we're trying to do with a lot of these rural communities in Western New York. And, as everyone's saying, there's just these amazing, hidden, beautiful gems in all of these little places. And I would agree that, we're only about, the furthest you're going to go in the area that we look at, the Genesee Valley, is about 2 hours. So, this is an easy day trip. And, I would also encourage people to look at, sites like Warm Showers. This is a site for cyclists, kind of like an Airbnb type of concept where people get hosted in other people's homes. Hip Camp is another option that we're seeing, being really popular in the area. But you can absolutely, within 30 minutes, if you kind of look at the northern part of our region, say you're a cyclist, get on the Greenway, come down to Scottsville, which is super cute. Mm-hmm. You've got the Artisan Cafe there. Just a little further afield is the Genesee Country Village and Museum, which has great summer programming and outdoor events all summer long. You can, if you have a dog, the Owatka Creek is a great place to kind of wade in there and cool your little pup off. And then you can keep riding and get to Avon, where we have, Mortalis Brewery. You can get off in York in the Fowlerville area, where you have Dublin Corners. That's a fifth generation family farm that turned into a farm brewery. You can sit right on this beautiful hilltop and, kind of watch the sunset. And, on the weekends, they have live music and barbecue out there. And it's, just, again, a really beautiful spot to visit. And that's kind of the northern part. And then if you head down towards Letchworth, you've got, Perry, New York, which is right by Silver Lake.
That place is on fire.
It really is. Yeah.
It's amazing. And, I'm going to put a plug in for Shake on the Lake, the Shakespeare Theater Company that just started there several years ago. But tonight they're actually doing their storefront performance where, they're going to have performances along their Main Street district and six businesses. There's performers from all over the world coming, including Rochester. But their summer series starts, this month, and they'll be at the Public Beach in Perry. And again, it's donation. You can pay as little or as much as you'd like. And again, you're getting this really unique world-class performance in some of, the most beautiful spots in the Genesee Valley. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. I mean, Perry is one of my favorite. Well, don't stop. Keep us on this tour, Nicole. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, and again, Silver Lake Brewing Project in Perry, if you're into Belgian beers, Tony Jones is making some of the best in New York State, mm-hmm. I have to say. I spent many years out in California and all over the world, and I feel, you know, confident in saying that. You've got Ration Wine Bar right there, where, again, just you can taste everything from the New York Finger Lakes region to, you know, global wines. Head down into Geneseo. You've got, you know, the Main Street District there and SUNY Geneseo, Canisius Lake. But some of my favorite spots these days are really going down into Allegheny County. To me, this is where, you know, it, you know, I don't know, we still have this gorgeous wilderness. And the river, you know, I was just down in Caniadilla, one of the communities that we're working with, and just stopped to park my car at one of the river access points and saw a bald eagle just swoop down and pick up fish out of the river. And, you know, the other week I was there, I saw two river otters swimming along. And it's just, it's clear, it's calm, it's a great place to paddle. And they've got a growing number of, you know, outdoor guides down there. River Dog Fly Fishing just opened up. Houghton College has gorgeous trails that you can hike that are open to the public, and also equipment rentals if you want to get out on the river. And then one of my other favorite places, again, just with water, Wiscoy Falls outside of Fillmore and Hume. Three levels of, you know, just tremendous falls that you can hike up and swim in, and a lot of little secret swimming holes all along the Wiscoy Creek there.
How much did you pay to see the eagle do that fishing thing? How much was that?
Zero.
Yeah, I figured
you know,
that.
The cost of gas, you know, I know gas has been going up these days, but, you know, honestly, it's not all of this stuff between, you know, we've got vintage drive-in theaters down here. That's been another fun thing since the pandemic. I think people have rediscovered is, you know, being out under the stars and watching a movie. And again, a lot of things, especially in these rural areas, are so low cost. I lived in the Bay Area of California for many years, and, you know, it's still amazing how little you have to pay for great things.
Yeah, what you can get for your money. It was about a year ago that I thought about this, and I never ended up doing it, and I want to look it up again. I was going to take my boy down and do some river rafting down near Letchworth in the area. Have you done that area in Horbivitz?
I have not. I've always actually wanted to.
That looks so fun.
It looks amazing.
And I had a friend from Rochester who did that and said it was so accessible. You can't believe how easy it is. And it's like one little day drive down, and you know, you feel like you're ripping through Colorado. It's not quite that crazy. It's just gorgeous. So I'm going to put that on the list for sure. Let me get a little bit of feedback from listeners, because we have so much. Catherine says, we looked at prices and we opted for a staycation. We will be having lots of meals at our local favorite restaurants, taking some day trips locally, and making some home improvements instead. Adrian says, booking a night, a 30-minute drive outside of where you actually want to be, locks you into driving at least 60 minutes a day. The point of vacation is, I don't want to have to drive anywhere. Look, man, we're doing our best here. I cannot help you. I cannot unbook every hotel and every B&B in the area. And JM says, Evan, not surprised, hotels are packed everywhere. Then we've got questions from listeners about bicycling in a lot of different ways. So let me hit these now. John says, regarding Amtrak day trips, Arian, can you bring a bike easily and cheaply?
You can now. Yeah, it used to be that you could only bring on the bike on the Lakeshore Limited, but now I think the Empire Service train routes are allowing bikes on. It is not the cheapest. It is $20 each way. But to have that option is great. I also have a folding bike and several other, you know, small forms of micromobility. So, you know, highly recommend that. You can always bring that on the train free of cost. It's basically like another bag. But yes, you do have the capability now of bringing a bike on the train, which is a phenomenal option for a lot of people. Years ago, I took a trip from Rochester to Syracuse on the train. Got off. I brought my folding bike. Got off in Syracuse. Took a 70-mile bike ride to Utica. had some fun in Utica, and then took the late train home. It was it was a whirlwind of a day.
You're like the dude who actually does the stuff that everybody says they're gonna do.
I like to see what you can do, and you know, I love. First of all, I've done that Greenway Trail trip and hit a lot of those spots, Nicole. You're absolutely right. It's amazing down there. It's fantastic. I think the thing that, you know, is really neat about what's going on right now is people are realizing that they need a little bit of both. You need that community feel where you feel like you're, you know, you're in a sense of, you know, maybe you need that density, but you also want to step outside of that density. You want to have maybe a Rochester experience, but you want to go and be able to go in 30 minutes in any direction and get into nature. Because no matter how urban or how rural we are, there's still times where we want one or the other. You know, we want change, and change is good. To be able to adapt, like we could up here, unlike maybe you could in a large city during the pandemic. You know, where we could go outside, you know, anywhere, you know, drive a short distance or bike a short distance and get to a great trail, be in nature. You know, I think people are realizing that they need that duality in their life. They need those two things: to be close to a community that maybe is hopping at night, but also to be able to get away on a weekend in an inexpensive and you know, safe way to be alone in nature.
What is a folding bike?
Folding bike is great. So I have there's several companies that make them. It's a small bike with usually traditionally 20-inch wheels, and it literally folds in half, and then the handlebars fold down. It looks a little funky, but it is incredibly versatile. Just if you wanna, it's so easy to throw it in the trunk of a car, even the front seat if you want to. I take it on public transportation. It's super easy. There's a company called Citizen that actually makes low cost folding bikes, and that's what I have.
But if you're on an Amtrak, do you have to have a folding bike or nothing, or can you get a normal-ish bike?
You can get a normal-ish bike on there, but you have to pay the fee. I've taken my folding bike on there and gotten away with putting it
as luggage?
As luggage in the overhead compartment for no cost.
Okay.
That's one of the best things about Amtrak.
Wow. Okay. That's very, very cool. And when you said you got off at Syracuse and you went where on your bike?
To Utica.
Okay.
It's about 70 miles. Yeah.
Syracuse to Utica.
Yeah.
What is that trail ride like?
It's, you know, so we have the benefit here of having the canal, the Erie, well, now the Empire State Trail along the canal.
Which is so good.
It is so great here. It's in great condition. As you get more, you know, out into the rural areas, no surprise, it does get a little more, you know,
gnarly.
Grown in. I wouldn't even say gnarly. I just say you probably, a folding bike was tough to do it on. I won't lie. I bike more than I drive. So it's, you know, that's not really an issue for me so much. But, you know, I recommend having if you're going to go off the beaten, if you're going to take that trail kind of outside of, you know, urban areas, if you're going to be in more rural areas, I would probably have a decent mountain bike to do that. But you could do it with a regular cruiser bike or something like that, someone with like a hybrid tire.
How picturesque was that ride?
Beautiful. It was amazing.
Was it really?
It was gorgeous. Yeah, it was awesome.
See, that's another stereotype that people would have. Syracuse to Utica, what are you going to see?
Oh, it's all nature. I even stopped in, was it Canastota? I can't remember. You know, I stopped for lunch in a couple of places, you know, just had a wonderful experience. I discovered some more little downtowns. You can go into rural communities and there's so much happening even there. I talk about cities for the most part, but, you know, we have to embrace the fact that, you know, everyone's looking to, you know, just take that next step in their communities. There's people everywhere looking to do this. Nicole, I love what you were talking about kind of, you know, maximizing the potential of that area down there, because you're right. It pulls people in. If people have more options to explore these smaller rural communities, that's good for everybody. And I think we're going to need that a lot more.
Well, I'm going to challenge both of you after our only break to give us a part of the state. Arian, you can choose anything because you've been all over. And Nicole, of course, has her area of focus as the director of Letchworth Gateway Villages. If listeners are going to try to plan a weekend getaway or maybe a 3-day weekend and, you know, realistically want to do it before the summer's up, I'm going to challenge you to kind of give us a little bit of a sketch of a game plan. Now, I don't know if there will be places to stay. That'll be part of the challenge, but we'll see. I just got an email from a listener who says, Evan, dude, bicycle road trip. All you really need is a kid carrier, a tent, and some supplies, and you can go to Sodus Point or anywhere else safely and efficiently on that new bike you probably just bought this past year like everyone else did in the pandemic. And they send a picture and videos of this. This is amazing. This setup, people are very creative.
People are getting
every time we talk about stuff like this, I realize that Arian is not the only one. There are people who actually do this stuff, and there's no reason that we all can't. And as you're hearing from Nicole and Arian, you can do it in ways that are a lot less expensive than having to deal with what we're seeing out there. For example, CNBC says in hotel rates, the price of a hotel in some popular destinations are higher than before the pandemic by large amounts. Hotel rates in Cancun, they were about $205 a night in early May, according to a hotel data provider. That's up from $45 a night a year ago and $160 a night pre-pandemic. So $205 a night in Cancun. In Hawaii, $269 a night on average. It was $122 last year and $260 pre-pandemic. So everything is up. It's a question of how much, and then it's a question of where you can find space and what you can afford to do. And that's why we're talking to Arian Horbovitz, who is the creator of the Urban Phoenix blog and so well-traveled with such great love and affection for this state and all it has to offer. Nicole Monopole is the director of Letchworth Gateway Villages. Let's take our only break, and we'll see what they say when we give them that little three-day weekend challenge on the other side of this break. Coming up in our second hour, in the summer of 1969, hundreds of thousands of people attended concerts. And we're not talking about Woodstock. We're talking about another event that happened not that far away that didn't get nearly the same attention. The Harlem Cultural Festival, through Stevie Wonder, Nina Simone, so many other luminaries. And a new documentary tells the story of that cultural moment. We'll talk about it next hour.
This is Veronica Volk from WXXI News, and we've got a new weekly podcast for you. It's called Earshot, and it's got all the most important, best told, sometimes off the beaten path news stories from your favorite WXXI and city reporters. Earshot comes out every Friday. Don't miss it. Subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.
This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and let me welcome into the conversation Richard Trayford, who's co-owner of Letchworth Farm Bed and Breakfast. We first talked to him when the pandemic was settling in, unfortunately, last year, and it's nice to talk again. Richard, how are you?
Well, thanks very much, Evan. I'm very well, and I'm probably a testament to how busy we all are. I'm about 20 minutes late joining this conversation, so I do apologize for that.
Yeah, what were you doing? You got nothing to do.
You don't want to know what I'm doing, but I'm the chief cook and bottle washer here, so I cooked my English breakfast this morning and then ran around like a headless chicken and then picked up Megan's email saying I'm supposed to be on the radio show.
I thought maybe you forgot which side of the road to drive on. But no, I'm glad to hear.
I just don't know what day of the week it is most of the time. But yeah, you're right. I get confused on that as well. Actually, since we last spoke, we took over a restaurant as well. So we're very busy with that. We have a farm-to-table restaurant about a mile down the road.
Richard,
Is fantastic.
You're terrible at self-promotion. You have to tell us the name of this restaurant. What is it?
Well, happy to do that. It's called the Whistling Farmer Pub. And it's a couple of miles from Letchworth Park.
Whistling Farmer Pub, right outside Letchworth Park.
Check that out.
You're the co-owner of Letchworth Farm Bed and Breakfast. And, you know, dealing with the pandemic last year, those who ran bed and breakfast, hotels, small hotels, boutiques, agriturismos across the world, they had to make decisions on what they could do, what their guests wanted them to do. And then things this year have changed a lot. Can you give me a sense for what last year was like for you, Richard, and then what this summer has been like?
Well, once again, I have to be careful not to sound like we're gloating here, because obviously overall the pandemic was a terrible situation for just about everyone. But people were leaving their homes, particularly people that were cooped up in urban and suburban areas, and heading to places like Letchworth Park, specifically for me, Letchworth State Park. Which meant that we were extremely busy. We had to create an enhanced social distancing sort of measure in the property, but that worked very, very well. And people knew that they were coming to an 88-acre farm with very few inhabitants. So it was a safe place for them to be. And again, they were able to get out and stretch their legs in a sort of responsible way in Letchworth State Park. So that was then. And as you mentioned, I think way back then, you know, we were seeing visitors from a gas tank away.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing international visitors again yet. About 40% of our visitors were international. We're not seeing them for obvious reasons. They're not allowed to travel. But what we are seeing is people coming from further away. For instance, today I've got a professor from Alaska, family from California.
Wow.
and a good mixed bag of the local group from Buffalo, Rochester, and Syracuse kind of areas. So we're definitely seeing people traveling further afield, albeit not internationally.
That's fascinating. You know, to be able to get up and have that English breakfast with someone from Alaska, someone from California, but also someone who are people who are close to being neighbors. Is that part of the joy for you, Richard, just meeting travelers from wherever they're from?
You know, it's the joy in a nutshell. I used to run a company in New York City, so I'm used to doing things at 100 miles an hour. My dad was a farmer, so I'm very comfortable in the country. But what I seem to have, and I think this will probably be my fellow professionals in this industry, is the guests really make the job fun. And there's something special about the type of people that go to guest houses and B&Bs. They're not looking to be pampered to quite the extent that you would in a hotel. They want personal touch, really, if you like. They like communication. They like to have a conversation. And I love that because you just never know who's going to come through the door. And they've all got great stories. So, yeah, that's been a great positive, if you like, during this rather appalling last 12 months.
Yeah, and given the fact that we just saw a Euro final, are you happy not to have Italian travelers?
Well, thanks for bringing that up, Evan. we enjoyed just about all of that. Maybe the last few seconds weren't so great. And I lost $100 on that one. I'd encourage someone to bet on Italy because we all knew they were the favorites, and of course I was right. That was fun as well. And obviously, I think, thank God, we've had these distractions. You know, we've got the Olympics now. I don't envy the organizers of that one little bit. Mm-hmm. But, we've got that to look forward to. I went through Wimbledon as well, which is wonderful. And then, the European Cup. So that was a great distraction. We don't have TVs in this house, by the way. So guests here have to listen to me tell them how it's going.
Well, go
to the pub where we've got a TV.
Well, the mellifluous tones of Richard Trafford, I could do with worse than that. Richard, how solidly booked are you right now at Letchworth Farm Bed and Breakfast?
So fully booked for the foreseeable future. But it's a very good point, actually. On the booking side, what we are finding is that people are being a little more tentative than they would historically be. So they're comfortable to book a month or two out. So if I looked forward to, say, September, October, and October will be our busiest time here, still plenty of gaps. So September, October, plenty of gaps. July, August, almost fully booked. And so that's slightly different from the norm, but I suppose not to be surprised by that, because if you were an international traveler, it would be obvious that you're perhaps booking up to a year in advance. If you're just going for a quick jolly, you know, within a gas tank's journey, you might do that a little more on the fly. So we're not alarmed by that at all. But yeah, fully booked until the end of August, pretty much.
Well, I'm going to add Richard to the challenge here. And what I'm going to ask all three of our guests to do is to, in the spirit of this conversation, we're talking about the rise in the cost of travel and the expensive vacations that people are either taking or choosing not to take. Going on holiday this summer is difficult. Everything is up. Room rates are up at most hotels. Air travel is up. It's hard to find a car to rent. And if you can, the cost of renting a car, I mean, you're paying $1,000 to $1,250 bucks a week at a lot of places, sometimes more. It's pretty remarkable. And so the question is, what can you find, especially if you want to do even a three-day jaunt not too far from here and keep it, you know, somewhat economical. So, Arian Horbovitz, you lead off here. Where are you taking local travelers for a three-day vacation?
I mean, I could name a million different places, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you're talking about a three-day trip, I'm going to say...
And by the way, you can't say Letchworth because Richard's going to say Letchworth and Nicole's going to say in the Letchworth neighborhood. So you've got to go east.
Letchworth would definitely be on that list for me, but I'm going to go, because I think they're going to probably handle the more nature-based experience and the more rural experience. I'm going to go urban with mine, and I'm going to say the Capital Region. If you talk to most people about Schenectady, Troy, and Albany, a lot of people here who haven't been through those cities in a long time might not have such great things to say about them. The fact is, those three cities, especially Schenectady and Troy, are exploding. What's happening is there's an event horizon of investment coming out of New York City because nobody can afford New York City anymore, specifically Brooklyn. So you're seeing a lot of people wanting to create that Brooklyn feel in a smaller community outside of New York City where they can have, again, access to nature and a kind of a small urban scene as well. And it's really amazing to see that.
We're talking about Troy. We're talking about
all three cities. You're seeing this investment come out of New York City and also organically in those cities as well. So you can take a train to Schenectady, for example. The train stops right in downtown. I'm going to say take Amtrak from Rochester. Take the early train, stop right in downtown, hit up a couple coffee shops. There's a brewery right downtown. There is so much within an eighth of a mile radius right in downtown. And it's a wonderful walkable experience. The walkability in that city is unbelievable. The sidewalks rival the width of the road.
You are envious as a big time walkability fan.
I am a huge fan of that.
You want to see more of that here, I know.
Exactly. I would love to see more of that here. But when you can get around without using your car, you start to look around more. You notice the architecture more. It's not just going from place to place. You're now kind of knitting the fabric of your adventure as you're maybe talking to somebody on the street or seeing something that you didn't expect to see or wow, that building is so beautiful. Now that you're outside of your car, you're having that on street level experience. Schenectady has a walkable only kind of European style street called J Street where they have great shops, a cafe. A lot of stuff going on there. There's a lot of stuff going on in the summers. They have festivals and things like that that are back on this year. So after that, you're going to go to Troy, New York.
How far is Schenectady to Troy?
I'm going to say everything there is, those three cities are probably about 10 miles apart from one another.
Okay, yep.
I don't quote me on that, but it's not
it's close
far.
Enough, yeah.
So you could actually take there's an excellent CDTA, has a bus system, much like our RTS. It's very efficient through the capital region. And you could take a bus. Like I said, all this, you're leaving your car at home. You're taking the train. Once you get to Schenectady, you're going to spend some time downtown. You're going to take a bus to Troy, and you're going to stay at a bed and breakfast just outside of Troy. You can get an Uber. And make that. Troy feels like a little mini Greenwich Village or little mini Brooklyn, the way it used to feel when everything was locally, locally owned. Small shops, little cafes, wonderful places to pop in and out of. You have no idea how gorgeous the architecture is in Troy if you haven't been there. You feel like you're in a small New York City village. But you're in Troy, New York, and it really is incredible. And the people there are so proud of their revitalization efforts. And then, hey, third day, pop into Albany. And
nobody ever says pop into Albany.
Pop into Albany.
This is the first time I've ever heard
so
that.
So they've got this whole area called the Warehouse District. If you like, beer and spirits, this whole district, just outside of downtown, is being completely turned into an incredible craft brewery and distillery scene. And it's remarkable to see. But there's museums downtown. There's a lot to do. They have Lark Street, which is kind of like our Park Ave. These things, you just have to know where to look. What I'm going to say to anybody about this trip and to anybody, call that county tourism office. Every county, every region, every whatever has a tourism office. And talk to those people. And they want to engage with you. They want to tell you the great places to go and everything that you have to see. Use those resources. Go on Google Maps and look for where the stuff is. You can see on Google Maps if you zoom in enough, in an area, where's this restaurant? Where's this? Well, click on this one. See if if the ratings are good, if the pictures are good. So that would be my trip to Capital Region. You can do that without taking a car. And it's a lot of fun.
I love it. I want to go to Troy. I never said that before, but I really do.
It is. You will be absolutely blown away.
Okay. I'm going to come back and tell you how it was. Nicole Monopol, director of Letchworth Gateway Villages. You've got a three-day trip that you're going to help people with an itinerary. What are we doing?
Man, this is hard. Thinking about coming down from Rochester, I would really want to show people kind of the local side of the area. So you definitely have to hit Letchworth State Park. But I would recommend that you have your kind of first night base over on Richard's side of the park, which is what we call the local Dynastical. Side on the east. And it's great to have you on, Richard. Richard is one of my most favorite people, and him and his wife, Daisy, are a riot and a very, very welcome addition to our area. So, you know, you could explore the northern part of, you know, the Genesee Valley, you know, spend a day at the Genesee Country Village Museum, you know, maybe have a night at the Avon Inn in Avon, New York. This is a restored historic inn where, you know, Henry Ford, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and Katharine Hepburn used to stay back in the day. So it's got some really neat history. And from there, you know, if you brought your bike, you can get out to Mortalis Brewery, you can get out to Rising Storm, you can go out to Dublin Corners, what I mentioned before. And then day two, you know, heading down to Letchworth State Park and kind of staying in that kind of southern. And you can, you know, hike into, you know, like the parade ground entrance there at the southern end of the park and see the other side of the gorge, which is beautiful. And you can hike part of the Finger Lakes Trail meets up down there and the Greenway. And there's just a lot of really great access points kind of along River Road in that eastern part of the park that, you know, again, you're not going to see a living soul there. And great place if you have a dog as well. Day three, I would head down into Allegheny County. You know, one of my favorite communities is all the way down south as you kind of get to the southern tier, Cuba, New York. This is, you know, I think, you know, very much like Perry in that kind of spirit. They are a community that just has pulled themselves up by the bootstraps and has just done incredible downtown revitalization. A lot of it centered around the Palmer Opera House, which, you know, has a great event space. They have a summer concert series all summer long. You know, again, going into this kind of cost-effective summer experience, a lot of these small communities have summer concert series that are, you know, supported by different community groups. And so you can go catch a free show through the weekend into Mondays in Cuba at their school, at the central school there outdoors. And, you know, there's several great restaurants. Of course, it's home of Cuba cheese. So has a great kind of, you know, agritourism and food scene down there. The Copper Keg is a great place to eat. You have the Old Greyhound and the Perfect Blend Coffee Shop, which is also right in the Palmer Opera House. And from there, you know, you can, you know, go back up towards the river. You can, you know, get in Cuba Lake. So there's a lot of things, like if you just kind of think about these kind of the northern Letchworth and then the third day down in Cuba.
How many times have I driven past Cuba, you know, driven through the southern tier and never spent any time there? I love that idea.
Got to go to their main street. They've got great antique shops too. But the Palmer Opera House, it really is incredible. And they just have this a digital walking tour now of all of their murals and some of their historic sites that you can download. They've got little places around there. And again, it's an incredible community and well worth the trip.
All right. Richard Trayford is co-owner of Letchworth Farm Bed and Breakfast, which is, where is it, by the way? I mean, Letchworth is big. You can't just say Letchworth. So where is it, Richard?
Well, Nicole practically put a needle on it in that conversation when she mentioned River Road. We're actually, our address is Oakland Road, but it basically runs into River Road. So if you imagine what runs parallel to the park on our side, as she mentioned, the quiet side, the side that feels more like a national park, frankly, than a state park, we're right on the boundary of that. If there was a drone flying above our farm, you'd be looking at the lower falls.
And
so
what
we're right there.
And what is your itinerary for a guest who needs 3 days of a wonderful trip that maybe they can spend some money, but they don't feel like they just went to Cancun and broke the bank?
Okay. Well, firstly, I'd like to echo what the gentleman said and what Nicole said. I would probably get on Route 20 if it was just me and head towards the greater Albany area. My son lives there. He's a musician, and I can definitely vouch for how vibrant that area is now. He's very busy, and it is, as the gentleman said, a really growing kind of cosmopolitan sort of hub now, and I think that's fantastic. But what I actually do, and you'll like this, Evan, is I give my guests a copy of your book,
Oh, my God.
In a Car, And I tell him to go read that, which is wonderful, by the way, and go and visit the vineyards. I like to visit some of the breweries as well. Nicole and I were in Rising Storm the other night. Fantastic brewery. So you could have a lot of fun, probably more fun than you're allowed to have, visiting those kind of places. And that would do me if I could ever leave my farm, which is very hard when you've got a guest house. But yeah, that's what I tend to tell people to do. Pick up one of those, you know, your book or a book or something that fills you in on all the food, wine, beer, ciders in this area, and use that as a guide because it will put you in some wonderful places. They're all marvelous facilities in their own right, but they're in wonderful locations as well. So that's what I recommend people do, and just, you know, stay one night with me and one night with everyone else.
I love it. Go ahead, Nicole.
I was just going to put a plug in for what Richard's saying about a guide. You know, exploregeneseevalley.com, that's our website that we have with interactive maps. This is all content created by locals who love our area. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, anyone can contribute to it, but it has great itineraries, insider tips. We're about to launch a trail mapping tool that'll give you all of the cycling routes, all of the trails in the area, paddling routes. But it's a great resource for you if you, you know, are just looking for some inspiration in some of the lesser known areas.
Well, another reason to think about doing something like this, just a warning for people who are still maybe trying to squeeze in travel that'll involve airfare. Multiple sources reporting, and if you've flown recently, maybe you've noticed, a lot of the airlines relaxed their rules on travel during the pandemic, just trying to get people to fly. So if you were buying economy, the cheapest class ticket on a lot of these airlines, usually that is a non-refundable, non-transferable, one-and-done deal. During the pandemic, they said, no, if you want to change at the last minute, we'll rebook you. You know, vouchers, all the kinds of stuff, that's not happening anymore. All that stuff is gone, and demand is way, way up. So just be aware, if you are traveling, especially farther afield, you're going to run into some challenges. I'm not saying don't travel. I'm saying be aware, plan ahead here. And speaking of one of the points that Arian Horbovitz made about Schenectady, you say you get off at the train station, and mm-hmm. within an eighth of the mile,
yeah.
there's so much you can do. It's beautiful. It's fun. It's engaging. You're on your feet. Jeff writes to say, Evan, taking the train sounds like a great idea. Now imagine what someone would see if they got off the train in Rochester. What would they do? Who would they talk to? I'm afraid if they walk down St. Paul past Pleasant Street, they might turn around and head back where they came from. We need more. What do you think about the importance of targeting development in places like that where people are going to get out and get on their feet, Arian?
Yeah, that's becoming more important now than ever. I mean, I think here in Rochester, you know, we're talking about the Interloop North infill now. You know, obviously we filled in the east side and there's a lot of development there. But, you know, now the north side will help to welcome people a little more, I think, that come into our Amtrak station because it's simply going to remove just that ugly, underutilized highway that's there. There's still a lot of long way to go on that. But that's really going to help, you know, our region. But yeah, building around, Amtrak is back to being, you know, kind of where it was, at the start of the pandemic, at least for New York State. And, I think that's going to be people are looking for those little mini spontaneous adventures. I can book a trip on Amtrak across the state. I do it sometimes the night before I'm going to travel, literally hours before I'm going to travel. It gives you that sense of spontaneity. So with that in mind, I think people are looking for more creativity with their short trips and things like that. I can get off in Utica, and literally across the street from the train station is a brewery. So I could go to, you know, I could. I love breweries. I can hop in there and do that. But the great thing about riding the train is you have a downtown basically in almost everywhere you get off.
Yeah.
The train runs right through the middle of town. So there's no, it's not like an airport where you're driving 30 minutes or taking an Uber, you know, to get there. You're there.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I think every community that has that can really target that development and think a little bit more strategically about what people are going to see and how walkable, how multimodal and accessible it is.
Absolutely. And that's coming. I see that coming in our cities. It's late, but it's I think people appreciate the importance of that now.
Nicole, let me squeeze this in from Patty. She says, Evan, I love the river. Went to Black Creek on Saturday, but access is basically impossible from Scottsville, Avon, and York Landing. Someone has put a rope in Avon and York, but it's difficult to get in and out. Any plans for improvement? Any camping options on the river or Greenway, Nicole?
Yeah, so I do know that Genesee River Watch has some project plan for improving those access sites that she mentioned in York Landing. And I know that there's plans for the Geneseo River access site in the Village Park there. I would really recommend, if you really want to be on the river, and it's not that much further, get down to Allegheny County, get down to Caniadilla. They've got a beautiful access site there. Also, you know, you can get in at Hume. There's multiple places along there. The Genesee Valley Conservancy has a great map. Genesee River Watch also has a map of all of those different access points. And I think, you know, it's just a different experience. And I'm sorry, I forgot the hiking or the camping part. A challenge along the Greenway right now, for sure. That's definitely something we're looking at as part of our Genesee Valley Trail Town initiative, and helping build up those amenities. But again, try warm showers or hip camp. Sometimes you'd be surprised at people's backyards. I know Richard offers his property down by his pond, which is amazing, on hip camp, where people can, you know, literally just camp down there instead of being at the bed and breakfast. So a lot of people are doing different types of arrangements like that.
All right, Nicole, real quick, website where people can learn more about all of this stuff.
www.exploregeneseevalley.com. And we just launched our Trail Town page, so we have our 10 communities there that you can look at all the interesting facts and points of interest.
Richard Trayford is at the Letchforth Farm Bed and Breakfast. Don't try to stay with him until at least September, and then he'd probably love to see you. What's the name of the new restaurant that you're involved with, Richard?
Evan, it's the Whistling Farmer Pub, Farm to Table Cuisine.
Whistling Farmer Pub. Think, look at all these amazing trips. And Arian Horbovitz, the man who created the Urban Phoenix blog, which tells such, frankly, important stories. It's really good work. Awesome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. I got to get down to Letchworth now.
Yeah, you do. Richard, we're going to come see you this fall, too. It's great to hear you. Thank you, Richard.
I'd love to have you here.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, Richard. And Nicole, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of the summer. More connections coming up.